The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on the 6th day of November, 2019. And on today's program, I have Tom DeWeese from the American Policy Center. Tom, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, John. It's good to talk to you.
Well, I'm glad that you're here because you brought something to my attention that I had absolutely no idea about. We've heard the term sustainable development. Many people think that World Wildlife Fund and Greenpeace, they're out there battling the evil Japanese that are doing whaling, and the Sierra Club, Nature Conservancy, they're all good people. But these are the people down with Agenda 21. And when I was talking with you today, you mentioned the American Cattlemen's Association. And you lit me up when you were telling me that, yeah, this is not such a good deal. John, let me tell you what's going on in the beef industry. So, Mr. DeWeese of the American Policy Center, you have the floor.
Okay. Yeah, this was a real surprise to me, and it was just last year that I began to become aware of this, of what is happening. And, yes, describing the World Wildlife Fund and Sierra Club and all these groups, and Nature Conservancy, they are massive organizations. The World Wildlife Fund is one of the top three environmental organizations working directly out of the United Nations. They work under the United Nations Environmental Program, and they're the ones that set the all these different policies we hear, and the rest of them are the ground troops that move forward to put it in place. But these are some of the guys calling the shots. And back in 2010, the National Cattlemen Beef Association, which is the largest in the country, I think they got like 28,000 members, and at their national convention, they had a representative of the World Wildlife Fund come in and start talking to them, and within the next year, they created this Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, and this began to set the rules on how cattlemen could raise their beef, and they had to become sustainable certified to be able to sell their product. The thing, what a lot of people don't understand, is that the cattle industry itself, the beef growers, don't have the market. It is the packers that have the market. They're the ones that have the market into the groceries, into steakhouses, whatever it would be. These are Tyson's Food, Cargill, one called JBS, one called National Beef, and they have been completely usurped by the World Wildlife Fund, and they are the ones that are demanding this this certified sustainable beef situation. And there's several hypocritical things that are going on here. First of all, they are raising the cost for American beef growers by using all these regulations, central control, all kinds of government auditors and so forth watching everything they do. And now they have one of the first things they did was they removed the country of origin labeling from the beef packages in your grocery, so you don't know where it's coming from. Now, as they're making all these American cattlemen jump through all these hoops, they the packers are bringing in beef from other countries, from South America, even from Africa and some other places, that they're getting it much, much cheaper. But it isn't forced to go. It hasn't been forced to go through all of the certification, and so we end up with a lower grade of beef, and the American cattlemen who are able to get their product through, complying to all this, are getting a much lower price. And there have been hundreds of them, if not thousands, that have gone out of business because of this. And when you sum it all up, you find, well, why? Why is all this? And you learn that the World Wildlife Fund that has said over and over again, in order to save the earth, we have got to stop beef consumption. And the point of this is to destroy the beef industry. And here's one of the things, John, I find really interesting about this. We talk about Agenda 21. We are always talking about the three E's. You know, their logo for Agenda 21 has been these three connecting circles. And each one is marked. One is marked social equity. One is ecological integrity. One is economic prosperity. We always talk about how this is the three E's. This controls every aspect of our lives. Well, I have a document on the principles of sustainable beef farming that's put out by one of these working groups putting all this together. And interestingly enough, they have it broken down into three sections. One is economic sustainability, one is social sustainability, and one is environmental sustainability. Sounds familiar?
Mm.
There it is, mm-hmm. Right there, the controls of the beef industry, Agenda 21.
Well, and I was reading one of your articles on your website, AmericanPolicy.org, and you have a quote here from Christina Stewart. She's the former Canadian Minister of the Environment. And she was quoted as saying, no matter if the science of global warming is all phony, climate change provides the greatest opportunity to bring about justice and equality in the world.
There it is. They keep saying over and over again, it doesn't matter if it's true or not. This is what we've got to stick with, and that's exactly what they have done. And we can, you know, we have scientists, we have 30-some thousand scientists that have signed documents saying that there is no man-made climate change. This isn't real. It's a hoax. And none of that matters. We're sticking with this no matter what. And, you know, and here's the other part of this. Why is the World Wildlife Fund interested in all this? Why getting involved in the whole beef consumption? Well, they are working with other conservation groups. One of the programs they're working on is they're looking at the Northern Great Plains. Spans more than 180 million acres, crosses over five states, two Canadian provinces, and their goal is to get control of all of that. You know, back in the day, back in the 80s, 90s, you had Earth First and Dave Foreman, who put together the Wildlands Project. Wildlands Project, the idea of that was to rewild, and what it came down to was more than 50% of all the land in every state back to the way it was before Christopher Columbus. And that means, and, you know, you see the Agenda 21 map with all the red on it, that was that. The Biodiversity Treaty became a part and parcel to it, and all this was about getting people out of the rural areas, getting them moved into the cities, and in controlling everything that happens out there. You've got the Bureau of Land Management that is part and parcel to all that. And so here it is. The World Wildlife Fund is moving to put all of that in place and to stop our beef consumption. They say that beef are not sustainable because they damage the banks of the rivers, and they, you know, we can go into the whole. I can't believe we're having a debate across the country on cow flatulence, but we are,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, on and on like this. And what they say is that we can take the land, the grazing land that is used for the cattle, and we can convert that to grow wheat and soy, and we can feed millions more people that way if we do that. Well, the truth of the matter is that's not true, because a lot of that rangeland cannot be converted to grow products like wheat and soy, but it also is all part and parcel to the vegan diet and the animal rights movement. And, you know, I asked some of the people in the cattle industry why they would allow the World Wildlife Fund to come in there and create this global roundtable for sustainable beef. And they said to me one of the reasons was because it was a pressure valve. They have been under siege by the environmental movement and the animal rights movement for decades. All they want to do is do their work, live their lives, produce the highest grade of beef in the world. And without government regulations, they did that on their own. And they said, okay, so let's put this word sustainable in there. Whatever we have to do, this will get them off our back and we can go back to work. They don't understand that the end game here is to put them out of business. There is no compromise. There is no settling with these people. They have a goal and they intend to stick to it. But they, all the while they're doing that, they're telling the American public, this is just to make it safer for you. This is just to make it a better quality product for you.
But and that's why we kept getting this grain-fed beef. And what kind of grain was it? Well, it was the Monsanto monster stuff. It might be interesting to the listeners to know, Tom, that Russia has been non-GMO. They recognize the dangers of it. And now Russia is the world's largest exporters of wheat. And I kept seeing, you know, we had this trade thing going on with China, and Trump started what people were calling trade wars. Well, what he was actually doing was trying to level the playing field to the United States' advantage. In other words, if you've got a country that's producing stuff, sending it here, we should have the same opportunity to do that with their markets as well. Quid pro quo, you know, even Steven, you know, one
Absolutely
deal goes,
true.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be. Well, I was watching over the last year, the media kept spinning the farmers and the trouble that they were in on Donald Trump, and I kept reminding listeners, Tom, that by and large, the American public has gotten wise to these frankenfoods, and they don't want them. They don't want them. So I don't care what kind of where you're growing your wheat or your soybeans or anybody else. Europe, they pretty much outlawed GMO food. So who exactly are we selling this stuff to? Well, Trump the other day, in June, he did something with the farmers on biofuels to kind of give them a leg up, because he knew this was hurting them, trying to straighten around these trade deals. So he did this thing, but it was misrepresented to me by a guest I had on the air that this was something nefarious that Trump was doing, and he was trying to pull a fast one on the American people. That was not the case.
Yeah, that's, and I'm so glad that you've explained it that way, because it's been so frustrating to me, because I understood that. He is playing to level the playing field. And he's just been attacked for it constantly, and that's absolutely true. So now we have had a couple of things happen that are starting to move. I've spoken to several cattlemen's associations over this past year, and I'm getting ready to go to New Mexico next month for another one. And we're beginning to make some noise and get people to hear what needs to be about this. What I've told them is, As I talk to these cattlemen, and they tell me all this inside stuff and all the things that are going on, and I say, you know, the American people don't know that. And you know it, but we've got to get the American people to understand what is happening to you, and you can't win this fight just talking among yourselves. You've got to do something dramatic to get your message out and get the consumers behind you. And so one of the things that we've been focusing on is this country of origin labeling. as I described, the hypocrisy of what they're doing. In they bring this beef in from these foreign countries that are not controlled or not watched over in the way American beef is, and it's cheaper, and they process it. They bring it here and process it and then put it in a package and say, oh, this is a product of the United States. It's an absolute lie. And so getting the consumers to understand this and getting that message out to demand that be put on there is a major thing. And it has there has been a bill that has been introduced. I just got this October 30th. South Dakota Senators Mike Round and John Toon have introduced a bill to they call it the product of U.S. The U.S. label, and they call it the U.S. Beef Integrity Act, and it does exactly what we're talking about here, that the beef products exclusively derived from this country that are born, raised, and slaughtered here in the United States have the label saying they're a product of the U.S. And what I find interesting about this in the article that I got on this is, you know, this is exactly what the cattlemen have been asking for, but the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, the ones who have brought the World Wildlife Fund into this and are pushing all this sustainable stuff, it's interesting the quotes in here from them. They responded a bit more cautiously. They understand the concern for the cattle producer, but they've put together a working group to examine the alleged mislabeling practices and so forth. There you are. The working group is the World Wildlife Fund, and they're trying to find a way around this. And I found it really interesting that they said that, well, we don't want to have more regulations on the beef industry. And they're trying to play free market here, and the regulations they're talking about is the regulation to have the label of origin on there to free up the industry. Doublespeak at its best.
I am amazed. By the way, you mentioned Dave Foreman he was the first Earth Firster, and they saw themselves as eco-warriors, the esprit de corps, as you put it, of the radical environmental movement. Well, I have been to your conferences. You were nice enough to invite me, and I appreciate that very much. And one day, you invited Mike Kaufman in, and he explained Agenda 21, and that was the first time that I had seen the map of which you're referring to, that 50% of our land is going to be rewilded, and that means no human habitation whatsoever. And to connect these enclaves of humanity, and people have not recognized this yet, these smart cities, this is all part of smart growth, and this is all part of Agenda 21. They don't know that, but it's going on right under their noses. But this Foreman guy, he said he had big plans. And quoting Foreman, my three main goals would be to reduce human population to about 100 million worldwide, destroy the industrial infrastructure and see wilderness with its full complement of species returning throughout the world. This is all real stuff. And Tom, you know, I don't know if people really truly understand this. This is not just a bunch of liberals out there making waves and noises and pouting that their voice is not heard as loudly as anybody else. Whether it's Facebook or Twitter or whatever social platform there is, can we call them communists, socialist, misguided miscreants, whatever name you want to apply to them, this is their efforts to shut down the true and factual information that may come out of this network, that may come out of a guest like yourself representing American Policy Center. How many years have you been around, Tom?
We've been around since the middle 80s.
And you have had a lot of conclaves. You have educated a lot of people. You've been in this thing for quite some time. And what goes unheralded is the people that have been doing this, the due diligence to stick with this year after year after year. You've seen lean years. I've seen them. But we never use that as an excuse to bow out and go do something else that pays better. Let's take the break here. I can hear the music. Tom DeWeese, AmericanPolicy.org.
Of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All righty, we are back. Short segment here. Guest today, Tom DeWeese, American Policy Center, AmericanPolicy.org. I've got to tell you something, Tom. You're one of the people that keep people like me, keep their juices flowing. And the reason I say that is because it's been tough over the years. I mean, it's been tough to get people to listen for the real watchmen on the wall, the real truth tellers out there trying to shake people awake. And the information that has come out of your American Policy Center, the stuff that you write, many people don't know that you're an accomplished writer. You even wrote a fiction novel. What's the name of that?
It's called Erase. And yeah, I never wrote fiction before in my life, and I was just shocked by the reviews I got for it. So
you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of this guy that decided he was going to write a book about the FBI and mainly about the ATF. His name was John Ross, and the name of the book was Unintended Consequences. People latched on to that, and they went, "What?" And the one thing that I took away from the thing is it's time to feed the hogs. Where in that book, when they had troublesome ATF people that wouldn't go away, they would find themselves in those tree shredders. Yeah. At any rate, getting back to the subject at hand. So you decided to get into this. Now, you told me that this year you have been doing nothing but traveling, going and talking to groups about this cattle industry. Can you fill in a little bit more there?
Yeah. Well, it's not just the cattle industry. I've been before three different cattlemen associations. As I said, another one coming up here, and but we're also, you know, the whole focus on Agenda 21 and the attack on property rights and what it's doing. You know, quite frankly, every single issue that we're facing today can pretty much be brought back to the whole Agenda 21 footprint on it all. And that's one of the things that I've been doing is I've traveled all over the country. I've been out to the West several times. And I've been to Massachusetts, California, you know, you name it, I've been there. Michigan and Louisiana. We stopped a big event in Louisiana, a big project there. We stopped another one in Alabama. So we've won some victories. What I'm telling people is that focus on the local level. If you can control your city councils, your county commissions, you can stop this stuff. There are ways that we can stand up to things. And the state and the feds will have much harder time if we've gotten control there, and we can win easier on the local level. And this is what we're teaching people, and we're beginning to make some progress. One of the big things that has really been a big help to me this year was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I want to give her an award because she's done more in 1 year than I've been able to do in 27 years to get people to understand what this is. And I've got activists and I've got local elected officials and so forth calling me saying, what do we do? And so that hasn't happened before, and it's growing.
Well, and that's one of the things. You agreed to come on tomorrow because you were kind of pressed for time today, and I wanted to have you for the full 2 hours and said, well, you know, maybe I can do that tomorrow. And then as we got to talking, he goes, you know, I can come on your show, but I can only do an hour today, and I appreciate you doing that because I know you're a busy guy. And this has been what has been lacking, Tom. It's people, how do they get active? What do? They know they need to do something, but they don't know how to do it. So you're setting up lawyers, and I wonder if you could explain a little bit more about that, you know, the actual inner workings as to what you're doing, because I agree with you. You know, to stop the federal government on stuff, good luck with that, Chuck. But the stuff at the local level, you know, what did the activists say, the Earth Firsters? Think globally, act locally. That is exactly what they did.
Yeah, they have. They've taken that real advantage that our founders gave us, that the local level should have the most impact on our lives, and they took that to heart while we sat there and let them do it. And that's exactly what's happened. And first of all, the whole agenda that we're dealing with here is so massive that what I have found with a lot of activists is that they get overwhelmed. They don't know what direction to go in. They start down this road and this other thing comes up, mm-hmm. and they don't know what to do. Where do I put my energy? And they just get discouraged and quit. And that's why, first of all, everything I've done, you know, my latest book, Sustainable, The War on Free Enterprise, Private Property, and Individuals, the purpose of that book, I focused on property rights. Because the fact is that Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, has a little bit of kryptonite in it. That kryptonite they don't want you to know about is they cannot impose sustainable development without destroying property rights. So if you stand for property rights, just pinpoint it to that, then you can begin to preserve our freedoms and the other things won't be as easy to put in place. So this is what we're focusing on. Now, what I was telling you about today, we're still working on it, but we made some major headway this week. We're starting to move forward with it.
Okay, hold on, Tom. Save that nugget till after the break. Okay. I hear the bump music, and we've got a long segment coming up. And I also see that I got Vince Vannelli here as well. He's from Missouri, and he's a cattle grower. Uh-oh. We got people that can see. Let's take the break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or to speak with a trained consultant, give Angioprim a call at 954-882-7221. That's 954-882-7221.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. My guest today, Tom DeWeese, American Policy Center, AmericanPolicy.org. He's got a store up there with the books that he's written, and folks, it is well worth your time to look at them. This is about the information. Now, you were saying before the break, Tom.
Yeah, the some of your listeners, if they have tried to take on somebody's fights, and they've gone before city council or the county commission, they'll understand what I'm about to say. What I hate the most in this fight is the arrogance of some of these elected officials. There always seems to be one that is sitting there pulling all the strings, and he's stuffing his pockets, and he's getting political power, and so forth. You have these non-governmental organizations like the Sierra Club, the Nature Conservancy, and the World Wildlife Fund that are behind the scenes pulling the strings, and they're all arm in arm with them. And these guys, when you come in and you try to stand up to them, they have this smirk on their face, and they pretty quickly dismiss you. You get the eye roll and the sigh and all that, and they don't want to hear anything you have to say. I have been determined for years to try to take that smirk off their face.
Mm.
And that they feel that smirk or that arrogance on that is because they have no consequences for their actions. Even if you are able to sue the city, for example, for something they've done and you win, they don't pay any of the legal fees, they don't pay any fines, so what you, the taxpayers, do. So they just keep going on doing what they're doing. This has become my mission. Well, we have discovered something that's going to wipe the smirk off their faces. And it turns out it's been around for a long time. The 1964 Civil Rights Act has a section in it called 1983. And what section 1983 says is if one of these officials violates your civil rights, it could also be just a regular individual does it, but we're focusing on elected officials. If one of them violates your civil rights, and you can prove it, and you take them to court and win, they are held personally responsible for their actions. They pay the fines, they pay their legal fees, and they could even go to jail, depending on what it is that they've done.
Hmm.
And so we are working right now. We've had a real breakthrough this week. It's been months we've been trying to pull this together. But we have finally had a breakthrough, and we are putting together teaching tools, a manual that will have the details. There are about six separate steps that you have to take. There's a certain kind of language you have to use and so forth. You don't really need to have an attorney. Probably better if you do, but you don't have to have one. We're going to have the documents that you have to file, things like that. We're going to put a manual together, and I want to get it into the hands of every activist across this country, and I want to start filing these suits. I believe if we win just a few of them, that
precedent.
We won't have to file more. We'll just put him in front of him and say, you're next.
Precedent. And it's worked, and we're going to hammer you. And by you telling us about wiping their smirks off, you put one on my face.
Me too.
Tom, I've got a cattle grower from Missouri. He's on this network by way of GCN, Vince Finelli. Hello, Vince.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
I couldn't be
great to hear your voices.
I couldn't be finer, and Tom DeWeese has brightened my day.
I've got a comment. Mosh, I've got a couple comments. Yes, I do raise cows with our family. We raise what we call black cows. To us, that means black Angus. And we have a herd of, well, sometimes it's up to 200, sometimes lower, depending on how much we can feed them. And I went to a grass-growing seminar put on by the USDA, spelled USDA, and they charge $50 per head to go to learn how to grow grass. And it's very interesting. It's a two-day seminar. They have them, you know, a couple times a year here in Missouri. They've got them all over the place. The idea was they're going to help farmers. Well, during the lunch time, you have a little stage, and guys get up on stage, and they talk about what's happening in the industry. And there was a USDA guy up there saying, geez, it's terrible. $40 is what they're proposing to charge to tag each cow. And then there's a transfer fee. And the audience, people like me, are like, oh, my gosh, $40 per head. That's an enormous amount of money. That could be 10% of the sale price of a cow, maybe 5%, depending on the price. And everybody was aghast. And then it was like, well, how about $10? How about instead of 40, how about if it's just 10? And the whole crowd is like, yeah, that's great. And I said, what's the matter with you guys? We're not paying anything right now. There is no transfer fee. What's wrong with you? Stop it right now. So, Tom, you are absolutely right. And until people start standing up, we're going to get run over. And that was within the cattle industry. And that non-elected type that you were talking about, that was a USDA employee. So I'm just putting an exclamation point on what you said because I was there. Any comments? Because I have another comment.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. And they just kind of go along with it, and they're not sure what to do about it. And as I said, when I spoke to I was in Colorado speaking to the Independent Cattle Growers Association there, and you know, and I said, you've got to do something dramatic. Tell me what you think of this idea that I gave them. I said, you need to get the consumers to understand what's going on here. And I said, if you pick five cities at exactly the same time, on exactly the same day, and you have a cattle drive right down Main Street to the city, to either City Hall or to the state capitol building, and as you've got people's attention, you hand out flyers, and then you have a news conference while you're there, I said, you'll get international coverage. And just after I told them that, the farmers in the Netherlands on the same kinds of issues had a protest where they took their tractors and they blocked every road in the country. And the result was the government said, we've got to have a meeting. So what do you think?
Got their attention. What do you think of that one, Vince?
Oh, I love it. We did something not quite as dramatic, but we did get their attention. A bunch of us farmers went in a couple of vans to Jefferson City years ago, and we brought some of the tools of the trade, namely pitchforks, and that seemed to get their attention, but nothing like a cattle drive. And how hard would that be? Well, I don't know. My family has a truck. It's four-wheel drive. It's got a gooseneck attachment to it, a gooseneck hitch. We can put 8-10 cows in the trailer, and we can be there.
Wonder,
that's no problem.
Vince, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking,
and we can let them loose.
And I'm, as you're speaking, I'm thinking, who ought to head up this parade is maybe somebody like Ammon Bundy.
Yeah.
There's your name right.
Yeah, it's not so hard. I mean,
yeah,
it really is not hard because. Our cows have a specific color tag. The farmers have different color tags, different.
Yeah, so you can recoup your
numbering
livestock.
Systems. We can kind of keep track of our.
You can have just four or five cattlemen.
We could take them to whatever that city is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be enough. But that kind of drama.
That's all it would take.
Yeah. As I said earlier, we were talking that. I have so many cattlemen tell me so many stories, and I said, you've got to tell the consumer this. Don't tell, yourselves. You've got to get out of your own little conclaves there and get to the American public, and they'll be with you. They'll understand, and instead they don't know, they're quiet guys, they're polite guys, and they don't understand how to do that.
Well, the salt-of-the-earth type of people, I mean, right now, Tom, you're speaking to a sustainable guy. I mean, his farm is damn near self-sustaining, but not in the way that we've been talking about Agenda 21 and all of that other stuff. This guy has his own farm. He does his own repairs. He does everything himself. He generates his own electricity. He does all of this stuff. And
farmers for generations have been sustainable. In the true sense of the word,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you're looking at one of the throwbacks here, Vince Finelli.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tom, I've got a comment, and I was thinking about, as you were saying this, it really is kind of simple. Literally, five farmers could get together on that same day, same time, drive to the city, and then in separate, they don't even have to be together. We could be on separate roads, separate intersections, and just let our cows loose for, to give them some water for the trip. Bring 100 gallons of water, let them each have 10 gallons, and just let them loose. One cow out of the trailer will stop traffic on a divided highway in both directions.
Yes, it will.
One cow. Yep. Why? Because the other direction is looking. Wow. it'll bring traffic to a standstill.
Yeah.
10 cows.
Yeah.
Now you really got something.
Well, I'm going to leave it up to you.
The state police will be there, the county police.
I'm going to leave it up to you great thinkers here, and, I'm going to allow you guys to do that. If I can lend a hand coordinating any of this stuff, Tom, I think that's a fantastic idea, and it did catch my eye what those farmers did with their tractors. I thought that got some attention. And the problem we're having here, Tom, and you know this as well as I do, and Vince knows as well, is we're not very good at organizing and doing things. We are not. We're scattered.
And stirring things up. Yeah.
And stirring things up. And you hit it when you said that, you've gotten inquiries from people going, okay, well, but what do I do? Well, you're sitting there masterminding this thing. You're putting together a booklet that you're going to get in the hands of everybody that gives a damn. And the tools are going to be available. The only thing that you cannot provide is the courage to do it. I don't know what it's going to take for people to finally say, you know what? Enough is enough. And by taking action, my God, I cannot think of any better. I cannot think of any better thing to do than roll up your sleeves, get involved, and that you're actually accomplishing something, because too many people in this country just feel lost, misrepresented, forgotten. They know what's going on, but there's no avenues, and the avenues that are set up are constantly being shut down.
Yep. Too many people believe that this opposition is massive, and that I'm just a one little guy, what can I do? And so, you know, I just have to stay home because we can't do anything about this. And first of all, we have to understand that this other side, these World Wildlife Funds and so forth, are terrified that we are going to learn the truth about this, that there is this piece of kryptonite, that we can stop them if we stand up to do it. They're terrified we're going to learn that. And so, you know, that's been my mission, is to go out and tell people this truth. And, you know, what I see is that finally when people become victims of it, that's when they get angry, that's when they get involved, and they're just standing on the sideline and don't feel the pressure of it. But now we've got what's happening now. One of the other issues that's taking place, Oregon is the first state to do this as a state. Minnesota has, Minneapolis has done it, and so have some other cities now, where they are now removing the protections for single-family home zoning. This is to open up the neighborhoods for stack and pack high-rises in their neighborhoods. This is going to raise costs, crime, everything else, and it's going to destroy your property values. And they're saying that the people who are living under this single-family home zoning are racists who are self-segregating themselves from people they don't want to live next to. So we're going to show them. We're going to move them all in there in a big high-rise. This is the attitude. This is what we're dealing with, and it's spreading across the country. And this is going to make a whole lot more victims on this. We can stop it now, but we've got to stand up and do it.
I couldn't agree with you more. Vince, anything else for Tom? And Vince, before you get away here, I want to have my board op, Mike, here give you Tom's contact number. You, Tom, you need to be on Vince's show on GCN as well.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, because he's been talking to the cattle guys and the rural people for a number of years.
Yeah, I had a cattleman from Ohio who raises longhorns, and he got my article on this, and he said, I thought this was the greatest explanation of what's going on here, and he sent it to 12,000 people on his list that are in the industry, and I'm getting all kinds of responses back now for that. So reach the industry, we can turn this thing around.
It's all about the education, but it's also getting to the key players. Out in California, guys, they're outlawing natural gas. There's not going to be any new permits. There's not going to be any more gas lines run out there. Of course, they're burning down half of California right now. I guess that's part of their rewilding project.
There you go.
Yeah. But no, I mean, these guys, these Earth Firsters and the derivatives thereof have been hard at it for a number of years. And if you want to look at property rights, you want to take a look at how Tom, what are we calling these guys now? Communists, flat out communists, socialists? They've had their way in California, and look what's happened to that state.
Some of them are flat out calling themselves communists. I mean, you've got now Antifa that is flying the communist flag and saying that we need to put together a Red Army and so forth. And you've got Ocasio-Cortez, they at least are calling themselves socialists. and which I just find the socialists just a little bit of a coward and not you know, able to call themselves communists.
Yeah, that's come out and said. And we've discovered what? The wonderful people that wanted to bring down Trump. These guys, Brennan and Comey, they actually voted for communists back in the 70s. They were communists themselves. How did these people make it at the top spot in our intelligence agencies and the top law enforcement in this country? This wasn't an accident. We're surrounded. But the good thing about being surrounded, it's a target-rich environment. You can turn in any direction, Tom, and they're going to be right there.
Yeah. Well, I have never been more energized than I am now. Mainly because they have taken, that cloaking device off, and they've revealed who they are. For years, as you know, I've been attacked. The Southern Poverty Law Center has done 4 different reports on me. I'm just a nutcase, a conspiracy theorist, and all that. And I've said over and over again, I'm not creative enough to make this stuff up. I'm just quoting them. And now it's coming straight out there, and the cloaking devices are off. So it makes the job a little easier.
Yeah, it does. All right, Vince, I appreciate you popping up here. Hang on a second. I'll have Mike relay the information for Mr. DeWeese here to be on your program as well. I think people need to hear this far and wide, especially the part that we can do something here about this locally. Thanks, Vince. He dropped? All right, very good. Tom, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Thinking about it lately, been watching some TV, been looking all around me, and what has come to be. talking to my neighbor, and he agrees with me. It's all gone crazy.
And driving people to the edge. Tom, the experience I'm having is most people have had enough, and rather than channeling their anger, putting that to good use to constructive purposes, some of them are just throwing up their hands.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell when speaking to an audience and you're hitting with one more thing, and they start looking down at their feet, and mm-hmm. You know, I can't take any more. I understand that, and you know, I get discouraged too, and I get overwhelmed by a lot of these things. But that's why I've tried to really take it and pinpoint it to a specific way to go with this and make it as easy as possible. And if you just do that, then you can, you know, have some impact and begin to move forward.
Well, and that's what needs to be done. I've said this repeatedly, Tom, that the old typing exercise in high school, now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. Yeah, it was a good typing exercise because you got to use every letter of the alphabet, but this is a clarion call. Many people have expressed that they're not happy with the direction things are going. They don't understand why things are the way they are. And you've done a magnificent job for over 30 years with trying to explain this to groups of people, bringing them in. And it's about the knowledge. You know, you've heard the tale before that you could take a millionaire, steal all of his stuff, strip him naked, plop him on a street corner in another city someplace, and that guy will be back on top. Because he knows what he needs to do to get there. This has been an experiment in absolute chaos in this country, because many of the things that are being discussed and talked about, people don't have a clue on how to tackle. Well, where do I go? What do I do? What do I say? Well, you're one of the kind people out there that's going to help them in that regard. And guess what everybody has in their own backyard, Tom? Their own backyard.
That's right.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, you go back to, in quotes, Sam Adams, who said that you don't need a majority to prevail. You need a dedicated minority to set brush fires of freedom. And so, you know, this is what we need to do. And I think people need to understand we're so bamboozled with this whole thing about the protect the environment, protecting us. Everything is protect the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And you go back to what these people really are about. They you know, they were looking for a way. We've always had these people who were looking for ways to rule the world. What if they found a message that was so powerful that they got the very people they're going to subjugate to voluntarily give up their liberties and help them do it? That literally became the threat of environmental Armageddon. And why did they pick the environment? Because the environment doesn't recognize political boundaries. So it goes, you know, rivers go through lots of different states and towns, and you got corridors of crops and wildlife patterns and things like that. And so they can use that as an excuse that does away with your national boundaries and your national sovereignty. It does away with your state boundaries, your county boundaries, and the boundary around your house, which is your property. They can take this excuse of environmental Armageddon and throw away everything of our society because we have to do this to protect the environment.
For people
that
want
excuse.
For people that want more information, do you have an email, Tom?
The website at AmericanPolicy.org. I mean, we've gone to great effort to create tools and so forth that people can have. Of course, we've got a good archive of articles and stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
But there is also, you can email us on the website.
Very
and
good.
I will get those.
All right, let's drive them to the website, AmericanPolicy.org. Tom DeWeese, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to be on the National Intel Report, and we'll be talking.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. We'll take top of the hour break. Folks, I'm going to do something next hour that you ain't going to believe. Literally.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product, and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.